Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. I hope everyone's having and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Wow, I almost messed that whole up. That's terrible. I hope everyone had a great week so far. I know it's only Tuesday, and I hope you have a better week to follow. Hello, Pam, and how are you tonight?
Hello, Jean. I'm doing great. Got outside a little bit today, and, life is good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. It's it's chilly here today. Well, it's not cold by any means, but it's chilly. It's in the 50s. It's the low 50s.
Yep.
Which is different than it has.
We have the same thing.
For you, it's sadly warm. You're coming up in temperatures, aren't you? Yeah, and we've been up in temperatures. Now, all of a sudden, we're coming back down again. It's like, you make up my mind. But it's all right. It's all right. My daughter called me tonight from baseball and said, Mom, it is so, I can't tell you her exact words. Is it so cold? I said, yeah, I believe it.
I actually walked across the road to my mailbox without having to put on a jacket. So, to me, that's warming up. So, because we were in the 50s, too.
When we first come out of wintertime, like when we were having 30s and 20s and stuff like that, and it hits 50, it feels wonderfully warm. So I totally get it. I'd be running around without shoes on, But when you get in the 70s, up in the mid to late or high 70s, it's like, okay, And all of a sudden it's 50. It's like, oh my God, we're freezing to death. It's so silly. It's temperature.
It's true. That is a big adjustment.
So much for acclimation, right? Oh, yeah. So tell me about the prompts for your prompts. How do you like that?
Yes. Well, tonight's concept for the show was pretty simple. I just happened to notice, I was looking at national holidays in the month of May. And I happened to notice that May 2nd is National Brothers and Sisters Day. So I thought, aha, well, there you go. That'd make a good show for Twisted Tuesdays. Yeah. So I ran a pre-writes contest, which I don't usually do, but I thought, people probably have already written about their siblings. So, I asked for poems that that celebrated and honored brothers and sisters, siblings. Of course, keeping in mind that not everybody has siblings, or not everybody has siblings that they get along with for various reasons. I did put the option of writing about someone who is like a brother or sister to you. I did put up a bunch of different quotes that people could use as prompts if they wanted to, or they could just simply write on that the topic, or write for their siblings, for their brother or sister, and what they meant to them. So
right,
we definitely got some beautiful heartfelt poetry for tonight.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure. And it was a great idea. I think it had something to do with that calendar of yours. You have the magic calendar. You're looking, you never know what you might find. Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
it was a great topic. That should make people, smile.
Got some great responses to it, and it is interesting how oftentimes out of all our family members, it is our siblings that we are oftentimes closest to, and not for everyone, but like I was saying, there's. A lot of times we find those people, those friends who are like siblings to us,
Absolutely.
And, yep. So absolutely.
Very cool. Very cool. But yeah, it's a little quiet here today in the room, I see. But that's okay,
I think they're waiting for us to pour the drinks, and then they'll start calling in.
Ah, there you go. It's like those people who dance after they're drunk enough. I get it now. Damn, now I get it. It took me all this time. 7 years I've been trying to figure it out. Now you make it so simple.
There you go. I just simplified things.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, yeah. Okay, well, I mean, the floor is yours, so you just tell me what we're doing, and I'll be happy to bob and weave with you.
Alrighty. Well, the first classic poem we're going to start with is One Sister Have I in Our House by Emily Dickinson. And go ahead, please, and give that a read for us, June.
Okay, let's see what I can do here. One sister have I in our house, and one a hedge away. There's only one recorded, but both belong to me. One came the road that I came and wore my last year's gown. The other, as a bird her nest, builded her heart, our hearts among. She did not sing as we did. It was a different tune. Herself to her music, hear her a music as bumblebee of June. Today is far from childhood, but up and down the hills, I held her hand the tighter, which shortened all the miles. And still her hum, the years among, deceives the butterfly. Still in her eyes the violets lie, moldered this many May. I spilt the dew, but took the morn. I chose this single star from out the wide night's numbers, two forevermore.
There, Jean. And this is, of course, a beautiful write by Emily Dickinson, you know, one of the all-time best classic rhyming poets with a style uniquely her own. It doesn't say in the AN or, you know, but I was reading about this poem, and she actually wrote this for her sister-in-law, who is actually a good friend of hers, on the day that her friend married her brother. She wrote this poem as a wedding gift. And so I chose this one, not only because it's beautiful, but because I felt like it acknowledged that thought that you can have a sister that grew up with you and be close to that sister, but you can also have a sister that you meet later in life. I really thought this was beautiful all the way through. But I really like, one came the road that I came and wore my last year's gown, the other as a bird her nest builded our hearts among. She did not sing as we did. It was a different tune. Herself to hear her of music as bumblebee of June. I like there's this acknowledgement of that, you know, that this different person came into their life and they came to love and appreciate her for her uniqueness. And you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Thanks. I thought this was a great poem. I'm glad you explained to me who Sue was, because I wasn't sure. When I got to the end, I'm like, okay, is it a friend? Who is it? You know, so no, it's her sister-in-law. That's nice. This is a nice nod to her, most definitely. Let me see. One came the road that I came and wore my last year's gown. The other, as a bird in her nest, builded our hearts and lungs. She did not sing as we did. It was a different tune. Herself to her, a music, as bumblebee. You know. I don't know. It just had some imagery in my mind with that, you know. I'm picturing this big old black and yellow bumblebee, you know, and what have you. I don't know. And the other nest, I thought that was a clever way of putting, now I know it's her sister-in-law, you know, came from a different nest, and that's good. That's all good. I like this. I like this a lot. Great imagery in it and what have you. So nice piece by Dickinson and a great choice for tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And yes, yeah, I think it is one of those poems that's nice to know it stands well on its own, but it is also really nice to know the background of the poem. So.
Right.
And all right, up next we have another classic poem because I wanted to have both sister and brother covered. And this is Sonnet 1 to My Brother George by John Keats. And the basic background for this one is it was actually a letter written to John Keats' brother George in a poetic form. So I figured, what the heck, it'll be an interesting one to bring. And it goes like this. Many the wonders I this day have seen. the sun when first he kissed away the tears that fill the eyes of morn, the laurel peers, who from the feathery gold of evening lean, the ocean with its vastness, its blue-green, its ships, its rocks, its caves, its hopes, its fears, its voice mysterious, which whoso hears must think on what will be and what has been. E'en now, dear George, while this for you I write, Cynthia's from her silken curtains peeping so scantily that it seems her bridal night, and she her half-discovered reveals keeping. But what, without the social thought of thee, would be the wonders of the sky and sea? End poem. And your thoughts, Jean?
What a great poem. You know, and there's a big long AN here. Among the late Joseph Severn's keeps relics were a few leaves torn from a small oblong pocket notebook, bearing pencil sketches of Keats, by Keats of rude figures and, I don't know, whatever. What seemed to be first drafts in pencil also. Of his sonnet and the two quatrains of the sonnet to my brothers, the erasers are not such as to indicate any want of fluency. I have collated this draft with a careful transcript made by George Keats himself and with another in Tom Keats' copybook. This last does not vary from the printed text and bears no date, but the other transcript, like that of the epistles to George Keats, is subscribed to Margate, August 9, 1816. In the draft, line 3 at first stood unfinished, that trembled on the morning eyes, and then that trembled in the eye of morn, and finally that hung on morning, the laurel peers, which is the reading of George Keats' transcript in line 4. We have that for who in the transcript, I'm afraid to do that right, in the transcript while the draft reads, that in the paling, altered feathery, in line 6 of the draft, danger stands canceled in favor of rock. Line 8 in both draft and transcript must be used on what's to come and what has been. Intriguing, but there's some, oh my gosh, there's so much more to that. Never mind, I'm not going to read the rest. It's just a lot. I had no idea it was going to go on that long. It's interesting to find like the original and the drafts and the changes and all that, and then you know come up with the finished product from so long ago. Pretty amazing, but it was a beautiful poem. It really was, you know, wonderful work to. It's just beautiful. Very well done, and what a nice piece to his brother.
Yes, absolutely. Great comment. And I'm glad you pointed out the AN. You know, there is a lot of information in there, but, you know, to me, having that the person who ever posted this on All Poetry, and I don't know who's in charge of that stuff, but whoever did it, and then shared the AN, I think that was a great idea because, to me, I feel like this is knowing a little piece of history, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's a beautiful poem, and you could read it without the AN and still appreciate it. But, you know, to know a bit of the history of it, I think just really adds to the depth. Yeah, and
right.
Of course, John Keats is just a masterful poet. And I like that he brings us into a day of his life and a communication with his brother, and sharing the little details of his life, you know, and how beautiful, like, I like how he speaks of the vastness and of the ocean with its vastness, its blue-green, its ships, its rocks, its caves, its hopes, its fears, and then brings up, and I don't know John Keats a lot about that poet, but I'm assuming that Cynthia was, like, maybe his wife. I don't know if you know. Yeah, but. You know, either way, he's got a woman named Cynthia, and she is dressed very scantily. But he says, but what without the social thought of thee would be the wonders of the sky and sea? And I like that because to me it says, yes, that there's this beautiful, scantily dressed woman, you know, standing right near me. But right now, my brother, I am focused on you because I know that you and I share this love of the sky and sea. And I think that's a wonderful sentiment. So I have no doubt that as soon as the last word of this letter was written, John Keith probably followed Cynthia off into the bedroom.
That's funny. Yes, that is most likely true. Gotta go now.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Oh my God. That's funny.
All right. Well, up next we have Threads That Bind, and this is a collaboration between Sylvana Five and Selena, who are sisters. And
nice.
Would you go ahead, Dean, and give that a read for us, please?
You betcha. Threads That Bind by Sylvana Five. I am one of four siblings, yet that is my favor, for the wealth they bestow is a treasure trove. Music shared with me, stories read to me within my memory, their gifts. They wove. Deep and strong are the threads that bind together like roots of a tree, warm and loving, impossible to break, each of us holding an invisible key to a lifetime of precious memories imprinted indelibly on our hearts, born of kinship, love, and laughter, united in spirit though far apart. The gift of a sibling means much more than merely a sister or brother. A beacon lighting our pathways of life, a golden legacy akin to no other. And home. Nice.
One, absolutely, yes. Wonderful read. And when I started this contest, I pretty much immediately sent the link to it to Selena and said, hey, I think this is a contest that you and your sister Sylvana will be interested in. And because knowing that they're very close. I didn't realize they were one of, that they had, there was two more siblings in the family, but I knew they were close. And Selena got back to me and she said, yeah, Solana's really interested. Can we do a collaboration? And I said yes. And then I thought, you know what, considering that, you know, it's a contest and a show about brothers and sisters, just in case there's other siblings, I did put specifically in the contest that collaborations were welcome. Now, this was the only collaboration I got, but I figured, you know, it needed to be said, you know. It made sense for this topic to be open to collaborations if that's what people wanted to do. And I really like how Sylvana and Selena wrote in one voice, and it flows together so nicely all the way through. And, you know, like you said, I got to learn that they are, they got two other siblings. I really like the idea of music shared with me, stories read to me. I was always like me, my brother, my sister, and our cousins that lived with us would oftentimes one of our favorite things was telling stories. And I often got designated actually as the storyteller of the group. So, you know, there's some good memories there. And deep and strong are the threads that bind together like roots of a tree, warm and loving, impossible to break, each of us holding an invisible key. You know, I like that this speaks on what the strength that is offered up when you have a close relationship and a bond that you share with a sibling. So just absolutely a beautiful, heartfelt write and very well done to both of them. Mm-hmm. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was beautifully penned and a great tribute to the goodness of siblings. You know, usually you hear, you know, siblings arguing, sibling rivalry, sibling this, sibling that. But this comes down to the goodness of it. You know, I thought they did a wonderful job. It's like, you know, to a lifetime of precious memories imprinted indelibly on our hearts, both in kinship, love, and laughter, united in spirit, though far apart. You know, just wonderful, heartwarming thoughts of one another for all of the siblings. So, great job, ladies. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I like that you pointed out that part, united in spirit, though far apart. Because oftentimes we do go in different directions in life.
Like I was saying, you know, they talk about sibling rivalry and all that other stuff, you know, but we all have to remember, absence makes the heart grow fonder. See, so that may be why it was such a wonderful good poem. Just kidding. It is, you know, they do say that. Yeah, you know how that works.
Yeah. And sibling rivalry is definitely a thing. The memories of some of the fights me and my brother and sister got into. I think the funniest one though, it was my brother was taunting my sister when they were both in high school. And, you know, he was like, I don't know, like, you know, average guy height, 5'8", 5'9", and she's only like 5'1". And he was taunting her, and she got so mad, she shoved him, and he fell out of the window. I mean, it was a first-story window, so he wasn't hurt. But still, all 5'1" of her went into this fury and just shoved him right through the window.
Oh, my God.
The only adult home was my stepmom and my sister, and she was sitting on the potty, and she was screaming from the toilet, "What happened?" And my sister responded very calmly, "I just pushed Joe through the window."
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, you know, they see dynamite comes in small packages, right? How big was your brother? Was your brother a big guy?
Well, you know, he's not tall. Like, he's only, like, 5'8", you know, which isn't tall for a guy, but he's built like a brick shit house. You know, guys that are like that, like, you know, they're just...
Right, taking a 5'8". Yep,
that's my brother. Yeah, but both my siblings are redheads. My brother had the orangish red carrot hair, and my sister had the auburn hair. So,
nice.
You know, when you know what they say about those redheads.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know it well. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So, yeah, siblings definitely make for some interesting stories, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, all right, well, up next we have "My Shadow I Hold" by St. Jay. "I will always be my brother's keeper to guard him from the hand of the reaper. The day I saw the unconscious sleeper, I saw her eyes, but I saw his deeper. I don't understand, the hand was too cold. Logic would vanish the second I told. If I would give in, my heart would be sold. The tears I preserve, my shadow I hold. So I saw the tears that hid in your face, hoping you hear me on life's silent race, hoping God hears me and offers me grace, hoping you see that I've been in that place. Try not to cry in the midst of my smile. I hold to my sorrows for quite a while. You say take a step, but I go a mile. I'll be your shadow, spiritual dial. I'll give you my name, which is all I got. You won't have to ask if I'll leave you or not. I'll be your shadow, don't hope for a lot, except that you feed the spiritual knot. I'll walk in your shadow, your eternal friend. I'll fight for you always beyond the end. Flesh, my spirit I'll lend. If you walk with me, we both will transcend." And this, he wrote to the prompts, "A brother is not always one who is blood, and it takes two men to make a brother." You know, and so a wonderful write. And your thoughts, Jean?
Pretty incredible right here. Well said. You know, well, well put together. You know, I will always be my brother's keeper to guard him from the hand of the reaper. The day I saw the unconscious sleeper, I saw hurt eyes, but I saw his deeper. I don't understand, the hand was too cold. Logic would vanish the second I told. If I would give in, my heart would be sold. The tears I preserve, my shadow I hold. That entire piece, you know, it holds that sorrow and that sadness. So I can't help but wonder what I'm not reading, you know what I mean? But just wonderfully done. And yeah, a brother is not always one who is blood. And that is very true. That's so true. Blood does not make family. You know, maybe technically, but not for real. Just a wonderful, wonderful peace, Saint Day. And thanks for sharing with us tonight. Great job.
Absolutely. And yes, this definitely a brother does not have to be a biological. It can be a friend. And, you know, I have to agree that there's a kind of this layered deepness to this rite, to where you get a basic idea of what's going on, but you can't help but wonder, you know, wanting to know more, because the story itself, what is told, is so beautiful and profound. You know, and you know, I really like the rhyme and flow in this, the use of inner and end rhyme. I thought was really spot on. And you know, you feel the deep sadness in this, and the sharing of emotions, and the idea of being there for somebody, you know, even in the most difficult of times. You know, I like that there's the spirituality to the light, and the idea of sharing your spirit with somebody, and, you know, being there for each other. I really like, so I saw the tears I hid in your face, hoping you hear me on life's silent race, hoping God hears me and offers me grace, hoping you see that I've been in that place. I like that, hoping you see that I've been in that place, because I feel like it speaks really well on the idea of what you wanting to someone to understand that you've been in a similar situation, or you felt similar feelings, and through that, building a connection. So just a wonderful, heartfelt rite, and very right. Well done.
Right. Absolutely.
For sure. All right. Mm-hmm. And let's see what we have next. Silkworm Sons and Daughters by Eric Svensson. And go ahead, Jean, please.
Okay, let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Here it is. It's magic. Okay, this is Silkworm Sons and Daughters. And this is based on the quote. This is having siblings is like making music. Some high notes, some low notes. It's always a beautiful song. And here we go. Mulberry tree, architrave, and nave cathedral. Cloister cool, silent like marble slabs. Eden encamped beneath green creation of Adam's doing. Silkworm altar boys and girls ushered, gently lifted onto veined leaf shoes. Industrious nibble-nibble of communion host studies. Speedy black and fat mulberries gave up the ghost. Dropped down to carpet nature's cathedral. Sacrifice for children's feet to squish, squash, smash. Legendary summer rituals trek to Mulberry Cathedral. Passionate pilgrims devoted to tasty ecstasy. Purple juice became barbarian working. Cowboys and crooks take their claim and send Mulberry Cathedral at all costs against infidels. Like summer fruit, nature will have its way. Sure as silkworms spun their silken threads. Children metamorphosed into adults. Mulberry tree architrave and new cathedral. Cloister cool. Excuse me. Like slabbed marble in summer swelter. youngest Adam tasted the forbidden fruit. Duty done and contract honored, one ghastly tinderbox winter. Veiled fires raged, pillaged the entire orchard. Ashes to ashes our mother wept. Seven children's cathedrals swept away in Notre Dame ablaze. Charcoal branches berated the mute heaven. Without delay, Phoenix fruit will have its way, like summer fruit ripe for the picking. And poem.
Great read, Jean, and what a wonderful, wonderful write by Eric. And this was a pre-write, but it worked so well for the contest, and he matched it up with the quote, having siblings is like making music, some high notes, some low notes, but it is always a beautiful song. And I thought that worked so well. He mentions in his AN that he's actually the youngest of seven siblings. And I really like how this has such a nostalgic feel. I thought it was a great wordplay, brilliant imagery and metaphors. I really like how he brings us back to the summer or whatever season it is that mulberry bushes grow their fruits, you know, mm-hmm. and him and his siblings gathered around, you know, just indulging in these berries. It takes me back to berry picking in my childhood, blackberries, wild raspberries, blueberries, you know, and always one of the best parts of summer. I really like Beady Black and Fat Mulberry gave up the ghost, dropped down to carpet nature's cathedral, sacrificed her children's feet to squash mass. Legendary summer ritual, trek to Mulberry Cathedral, passionate pilgrims devoted to taste ecstasy. Purple juice became barbarian war paint. Cowboys and crooks staked their claim. I mean, even within those lines, you see the bonding that happened. And then I like how he brings us into the line. Sure as silkworms spun their silken threads, children metamorph into adults. Mulberry tree archived in nave cathedral cloister crew like slabbed marble in summer swelter. And, you know, the thought of, you know, moving on and into adulthood, but still keeping those memories. A beautiful imagery and metaphors and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
Well, you know, I thought this was a fabulous write by Art. Wonderful imagery and such great playful tales of family included. You know, the mulberry tree, nave cathedral, cloister coal, silent like marble slabs, season encamped beneath the creation of Adam's ceiling. And then it goes on, silkworm, altar boys and girls, ushers, you know, and down into the Beady Black, in fact, Mulberries, which is the part that you had read. Just, it was just wonderfully put together, and it had a lot of meaning in each one of those stands. You know, there may be a couple of it that leaned on one thing in particular, but it really, wow, so evidence. It had a wonderful, broad umbrella of what he was saying. You know, it wasn't all about just one thing. So it was very well done. And Eric, as always, thanks for sharing it. Great job. Great piece, Penn. And Pam, on that note, I have to do a be right back.
Okay, no problem. All right. Wonderful poetry tonight on Brothers and Sisters. And thank you, Eric, for sharing that with us. And I see Jenny on the board. Hello, Jenny. Good to see you. All right. And up next, we have My Little Brother by Scraps and Scribbles. The soil of you is ancient forest ground, enchanted and alive with midnight feet, where beasts of every magic live unbound, where dragon's blood and knights have wet peat. your waters, swamps, and seas, and mighty rivers, where stout hearts reap the wrath of vengeful gods, where stirrings in the deep will make men shiver, and hearts are set with sails against the odds. The air you breathe is same as greatest kings. It's carried many a vital battle cry, and filled the milk of many's a mythic wing, and filled the silk of many's a mythic wing, the sea of moon ships riding silent by. Your fires are huddled around for storied song, or shaped and wielded by the wizard's hand. They forge the finest steel, good, sharp, and strong, or scorch and smoke the Dark Lord's chosen land. All this in you, my strange alchemic boy, who smells the autumn smoke and calls it joy. End poem. You know, and I thought this was a beautiful, absolutely beautiful write. I wasn't 100% certain about it at first, you know, despite the title, because it went in such a metaphorical, such a, you know, almost a mystical type direction. But I thought between the title, and then he had responded to someone's comment, and he had said, he is my best mate in these lives. And so I thought this must be about somebody who is either actually his brother or is like a brother to him. And I started rereading it a couple times, and I started to see, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I started to see the idea of someone who was a soldier. Like, this is definitely a deeply metaphorical piece. But I saw somebody who was, if not a soldier, was someone who protected their friends from bullies. You really get the sense of somebody who stood up for people who were defenseless, somebody who was strong in character. And I really liked that. The air you breathe is same as greatest kings. It's carried many vital battle cry, and filled the silk of many the mythic wing, the sea of moonships riding silently by. This has a wonderful rhyme and flow, beautiful imagery and metaphors. And I also like the ending couplet. All this in you, my strange alchemic boy, who smells the autumn smoke and calls it joy. That, because it makes me think of the idea of someone who thinks differently, someone who can see the silver lining in every cloud, somebody who has this way about their thinking that allows you to see things in new ways. So a wonderful tribute to a brother by Scraps and Scribbles, and very well done. And are you back, Jean?
I am. I was sitting here trying to read really fast, but I can't read fast enough.
You go ahead and you can read that, and I will go ahead and I'll read Jenny's comment on the board, and that'll give you time. And Jenny says, nicely penned sonnet, Scraps, especially like your waters, swamps, and seas, and mighty rivers, where stout hearts reap the wrath of vengeful gods, where stirrings in the deep will make men shiver, and hearts are set with sails against the odds. The air you breathe is same as greatest kings. It's carried many of that vital battle cry. And yes, I have to agree, Jenny, those are definitely, definitely great lines in this nicely penned sonnet. So great comment. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was wonderfully penned. And I have to say that when I read it, what I saw were two young boys playing knights, being kings, fighting dragons. I mean, that's what came to my mind. And I'm sure there's a deeper emotion that runs in this piece. But what I see is just boys being boys and remembering that and enjoying those thoughts and stories. And I could be very wrong, but that's where I went with it. So beautifully shared with everyone. I think that it was just I don't know. Because as I'm reading and I'm seeing, as I say, I'm seeing two boys playing and having fun. So I'm smiling throughout this, you know, and going, yeah, I could see that. I could see, you know, these kids having a good time, you know, and being brothers and just enjoying themselves and their childhood and growing up and, you know, and then, you know, underneath of that, you know, there's many a vital battle cry, you know, how many battles have they fought together in this life? So, I mean, I see like a duality in this of sorts. But wonderful job, Scraps and Scribbles, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Wonderful piece.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's great observations you made there, and I hadn't thought of that, but yes, it would make sense because that is, very common, especially, like picking up the sticks or whatever you can find to use as swords, you know. Children, especially young boys and brothers, when they get together, have such a great imagination. And you can definitely, like you said, see that in this rite and in the layeredness of it, the idea of that playtime that brothers spent together. Yeah. Very cool.
That was pretty neat. Instead of reading, I came back and I'm like, oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Summer, Sam. I am. I really am. I swear to God.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I said, I'm coming. I really am. I swear to God, I am. Honest. I'm coming.
Oh.
I'm trying to finish up this.
No problem. No problem.
Forget to go back because I hate to do that. Okay.
Oh, I know. I get it.
This is my read. You read the last one?
Yes, it is.
You're sure now because I know there's a bunch of us. I don't want to cut in line.
Nope. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Eugene might have a problem if you butt in front of him, but.
Well, you know, it'd be nice if he popped in and, like, did a little bit of reading, you know, instead of just, like, being a little social.
Nice.
He's such a social butterfly. Whatever, Eugene. It would be good, though. Okay, this is Too Young to Pronounce Robert by Gary Rubin. 17 months separated our birthdays. We grew up as Irish twins, opposites in many ways. Our brotherly bond is fraternal. Scott's in military corporal punishment, not exactly a Ward Cleaver model of fatherhood. I wasn't sent to my room. It was a hammer throw. This male's tough little bugger never cried, but knew how to toss a lip mat into the accelerant. If you're going to throw me, aim for the top of the stairs and not the middle, as I crawled to my feet, waiting footsteps pursuit. Adult tells you to think about what you did, but it's hard to get past what they did. Anger quickly boils over the top of a small child-sized pot. Calmly, my 5-year-old brother, Robert, would sneak away to the room next door, crawl under the bed, and whisper to me through the heating duct, "Try to calm down, Gary. You didn't deserve that." End quote. Oh, wow.
This one hits hard. Yeah. Has a wonderful read there, Gene. This one hits hard. It actually brings tears to my eyes. It's interesting because it seems oftentimes there's one of two things that happen when you grow up in an abusive household and when it comes to siblings. You either grow extremely close, which it does seem to be what usually happens. But I've also known siblings who grew up in abusive households. For whatever reason, it almost seemed to push them farther apart. I think in a lot of some of those examples, it was because there was favoritism showed or for whatever reason. I'm not even going to pretend to be a psychologist and understand family dynamics, but, you know, that's just what I've personally seen in my own life with people that I know. this was a powerful, heartfelt rite all the way through. You know, from even the title, Too Young to Pronounce Robert, 17 months apart, separated, our birthdays, we grew up as Irish twins. I get that because of my own children, because of having four kids, with number one and number two being 11 months apart, and number three and number four being 18 months apart. Yeah, you know, so. And it's interesting how I really loved this all the way through. It really just pulled at my heartstrings and punched me in the gut and you know, made me feel. What I really observed about this is how there was a difference in personality between the two brothers, and how those two personalities really became like a support system for each other. You know, the one being, as you know, Gary being the kid that, as he says, this nails tough little bugger never cried, but knew how to toss a lit match into the accelerant. If you're going to frowl me, aim for the top of the stairs and not the middle. Then, of course, extremely thought-provoking lines, and I have to agree with this. Adults tell you to think about what you did, but it's hard to get past what they did. You know, and that is so true, you know, especially, and I just absolutely, you know, am horrified at the abuse of any child or any child, any elderly person, any abuse. But, you know, there's just certain people that, you know, it's especially appalling, you know, and that is so true that, you know, it's difficult for a child to think about what they did if what you've done shouldn't have been, because, you know, and then, of course, that end line, try to calm down, Gary. You didn't deserve that. What a wonderful thing to have a brother like that, a brother who, you know, is there for you. So wonderful, heartfelt, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought that this was a well-penned piece and a great story shared by Gary. You know, this is a story of, you know, two brothers that whose bond was forged under not so wonderful circumstance. And I have to say, it touched my heart, that very last stanza. Calmly, my 5-year-old brother, Bobbert, would sneak away to the room next door, crawl under the bed, and whisper to me through the heating duct, "Try to calm down, Gary. You didn't deserve that." It made me want to talk in that child's voice. You know, as silly as some people would say that sounded, it made me want to do that, because you can hear a young child telling the other child, "It's okay. It wasn't right. It's okay. You'd be okay." You know, that's what kids do. And, I can hear them in their voices. Like when my two would gang up on me, you know, to this day, I still talk to them. I'll say something to my daughter, and I'll say it exactly the way they said it to me. She sits there and laughs at me, but she knows that they did it, you know. But I think that it's a sad situation because of the parents and what they did and the way they handled the kids, and that's hard. But, you know, I'm with you. Adult tells you to think about what you did, but it's hard to get past what they did. Anger quickly boils over the top of a small child-sized pot. Hope you don't understand. And, you know, that anger just boils up, you know, and doesn't have far to go because they're only little. They're only short, you know. And it's a hard thing to get past and to get through. But it's a lot of it just says enough. You know, that second stanza is just enough to kind of make you angry, you know, that someone would push a child. And it says here, too young to pronounce Robert. And Robert was his brother. So his brother was 5. So he was somewhere right in around there, you know, a little younger, a little older.
He would have been like about 3.5.
I would think somewhere around there. You know.
Yeah. Yep, if they were 17 months apart, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's Yeah, that's a hard pill to
swallow.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, and of course, we both, me and you both know my kids and know that, you know, especially one of my boys was particularly a stubborn child. So, you know, I mean, I've had to tell my children, think about what you're doing, but, you know, there's
right.
such a difference between, you know, when a child does something and you send them for a timeout and say, mm-hmm. think about what you're doing. And, you know, but
right.
yeah, just, I just can't even imagine, you know, but yeah, great comment there, Jean. It really does that second stanza does say a lot and, you know, really hit hard.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, and let's see what we got next. We have Her Brother's Keeper by Ben Hart. And it goes like this. I'm a brother, not a keeper. The bodyguard is sister's sleeping. We used to talk about the good days and feel like we were dreaming. I sat outside your door for hours, knowing I can't come in. Your paint all over the floor didn't mean to make it ours when it wasn't pictures you were cutting. I wish I could say I never felt nothing, because what would that say about me? A brother unstirred by her bleeding, what kind of coward would that effing be? I watched over you for half my youth, and it's the proudest thing I ever got to do. I owe you everything. I love you, girl, worn or untorn. I know the emptiness still listens in, but only in a vacuum can stars are born. Lost in the forest, no way back, the way she came has flooded. Her eyes have gone black, and her soul still feels unloved. Youth was a violent winter, only getting back to autumn. She was ash now. She is cinder. She was born out of mortem. But, babe, you are going to love summer, not to even mention spring. Just march, and I'll be the drummer. Excuse me in advance if I should choose to sing. I know you hate the attention. Greatness yours, you shudder at the mention. Those you could open doors, afraid of your own ascension. You went back every time wars, still you won't step into my dimension. You were never one to hide. You're more of a fighter. But the last time you lied, you said you felt lighter. Shelter, shepherd, sentient soldier, sister. Her name is Eve, and I haven't effing missed her. And I have effing missed her. The first woman that played chess with death. Who do you think it was that crowned her the effing queen? She is God, devil, and everything in between. She is beauty and, yes, a little mean. But that's because you can never go where she has always been. End poem. And Ben wrote the prompt of sister, and he says, I let them get away with what they put you through, but no one will ever hurt you again except me, LOL, your kid brother. You know, and I get that. I get that. There is a protectiveness for sister, for, you know, siblings. And yet at the same time, when you're going through a difficult and possibly, you know, whatever is happening at the time, a difficult time, abuse, and there's only so much that a sibling can do, you know, so you carry that weight with you. And, but I'll comment more, but first, your thoughts, Jean.
I think that this was such a well-done piece with a lot of reality-based, from what I gather. You know, my brother, not a keeper, bodyguard, a sister sleeping. We used to talk about the good old days and feel like we were dreaming. You know, I mean, I'm sure it's possible, you know, but sometimes as bad as things can be in any given circumstance, when you look back, you don't look back at all the horrible things sometimes. Sometimes you pull out the best points of those days. and they're the ones that you talk about and you laugh about, and then you think, you know, yeah, I must be dreaming, because, you know, it really wasn't all that wonderful or terrific. But so I kind of get that those two lines right there as real in my head. But the next two stanzas are the ones that caught me. You know, I sat outside the door for hours, knowing I can't come in. Your pain all over the floor didn't mean to make it ours when it wasn't pictures you were cutting. I wish I could say I never felt nothing, because what would that say about me? A brother unstirred by her bleeding. What kind of coward would that happen to be? You know, he knew what was going on with her, and he did everything that he could within his limits to be there for her. But your read of the AN, that really was, that was so real, because, you know, no one will ever hurt you again, except me probably. Well, doesn't that sound like a line a brother would give you?
Absolutely.
Well done. And that ending stanza, too, was also wonderful. So great job, and thank you very much for sharing, Ben. Well done. Well written.
Yeah, this is, man, we've two in a row that have brought tears to my eyes. You know, I relate to this one. You know, as you know, I probably mentioned before, you know, my second oldest was a cutter. Thankfully, he got over that. But, you know, it was a difficult journey. And there is this sense of helplessness, even as a parent. But I can imagine that, especially as a brother, as a sibling, you know, you're very limited in what you can do and how you can help. And a lot of times, you know, when you're a child or a teenager and you're dealing with your own problems, it's you almost feel as if you can't handle anymore, and you need clothes off. And, yeah, that AN is definitely something a brother would say, because, like, yeah, nobody else is going to pick on you except for me. I really thought this was a strong write, amazing imagery and metaphors, a powerful use of emotion. Youth was a violent winter, only getting back to autumn. She was ash, now she is cinder. She was born out of mortem. But, babe, you are going to love summer. You know, there's just such a sense of hope in that. But there's such a raw honesty in this love felt, and you see the admiration for his sister's strength, and how she was, you know, a fighter, and you know, just such a sense of loss, beautifully written and very well done. Man, I tell you, Gene, people are bringing the feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's Gray.
Is Gray with me? No, really?
You know, I don't know if he's on the line, but.
Hi, Gray.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Jan.
It's so nice to have you.
Hey, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Nice. That'd be nice. You're a bomb, man.
So is it just you ladies?
It is.
It is. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we are happy to have a extra company and a third reader. So very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you happen to have any rights about any of your siblings, you know, or somebody who's like a brother or sister, or just that fits in the theme in general, feel free to share it on the topic board. And
Sure. Thank you.
Yep, because today is National Brother and Sister Day.
That's us, brothers and sisters.
Yep. Okay. All right, and see here. I'm looking here to see. If, sorry. I feel like all of a sudden Gray shows up and I'm looking for like a guy right or a neutral right. And
don't know. I don't know, Pam. If a fella shows up and you start getting all the jitters, I don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
See what you did to her, Dre? See what you did to her? He's
there we go.
I can't see those 18-year-old people talk about.
All right. up next, we have The Boys of Summer by S. Sharp. And go ahead, Gray, and give that a read for us.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. The Boys of Summer by S. Sharp. Looking at that old photo, the one called Nicole called The Boys of Summer, four brothers, arm in arm, the Pacific crashing behind us, like memories unfolding on the waves we've ridden. Life, so many birds flying south, cold winds of warm of winter's arrival, blustery skies, eat up sunshine and time, can't hide from the winter solstice. Dark brown locks, graying bodies, slowed by age, both real and imagined, cry out like seagulls in time, but a photograph reminds of the day we surfed the waves, standing arm in arm at Manhattan Beach, when we were the summer heat, end quote.
Wonderful read there, Gray. I love that title. Okay, am I mistaken? Isn't The Boys of Summer like a Don Henley song?
Yeah,
or
after
something...
The Boys of Summer, Don.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I really liked this one. It was a beautiful and nostalgic write. I like that it reminds us about how, you know, like how looking at a photograph can, just bring back those memories. And I'm not sure if this is about, you know, biological brothers. I'm guessing it is, like as a family vacation or friends who were like brothers. But I like that he brings back that imagery in. Looking at that old photo, the one Nicole called The Boys of Summer, four brothers, arm in arm, the Pacific crashing behind us, like memories unfolding on the waves we've ridden. Oh, man, and in only three stanzas, this isn't a particularly long write, but in three stanzas, he brings us the first stanza back in time, and the second stanza just seems to speak on the passing of time. You know, eat up sunshine and time, can't hide from the winter solace. And I feel like the winter solace is that idea of, you know, the later years in life, which then goes into the last stanza. You know, dark brown locks, graying body slowed by age, distance both real and imagined. You know, and I like that because sometimes the distance is actually the fact that you all have moved to different states. And sometimes you can live in the same town as siblings, and you just find yourself so busy that there's just not time to get together. But this was a wonderful, nostalgic write, paying tribute to brotherhood. Very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was really great, and the memories pen so well from an old photograph, you know, that brings the whole thing into play in the poem itself. And I thought that was just so well done. I dark brown locks rang, body slowed by age, distance, both real and imagined. Cry out like seagulls in time, but a photograph reminds of the day when we surfed the waves, standing arm in arm at Manhattan Beach when we were the summer heat. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful ending stanza to this piece. You know, you go in the beginning and you hear about the photograph and you know, the different little elements of the day. But that last one really pulls it together, where he is now and then where he was at that time. And I think that it was just really well done. So great job, Scott, and thank you so much for sharing. Great piece.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Gray, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a wonderful poem on reflection of a photo, you know, and the time captured in that moment. You know, and the life gone by as well, you know, the winters that have passed and the birds flowing south. And then you're standing there with graying bodies slowed by age, you know, distance, both real and imagined. You know, I really liked the way he captured the essence of nature with cry out like seagulls in time. You know, that's great alliteration there. And it was a wonderful write on the subject of brotherhood, I believe. So fantastic job.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like that you point out the alliteration in that one part. It was really, really nicely done. Yeah. And there was an, I remember, like, you know, back when I was a kid, me and my best friend loved taking pictures. And but that was back when, you know, you had to wait, like, for your parents to actually develop the film. And, you know, it was just it's fun. I still got some of those pictures. I still look back at, you know, how absolutely silly we were. This was, like, back in the 1980s, and I think we were, like, 11 years old. And we used the whole entire roll of film to try to, like, do a fashion model so, and if you can just imagine two 10-year-old girls all dressed up like fashion models from the 1980s. We did not get far in our modeling career, I will tell you that. But,
we're glad, because then you wouldn't be here with us.
It was fun trying, though. Okay.
That's right.
Yep. Yep. It was fun trying. What was that, Gene?
I don't remember now. Oh, I said, we're glad, because otherwise you wouldn't be here with us.
That is true, right? Right? Exactly.
This
was meant to be.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Let's see what we have next. All right. Okay. Up next we have "Thank You for Choosing to Be My Sister" by Jenny the Deep. And go ahead, please, Jean.
Mm-hmm. There we go. "Thank You for Choosing to Be My Sister" by Jenny the Deep. Not sisters by blood, but sisters by heart. Side by side or miles apart, tightly I hold you in my heart. You were here for me since the start. Knowing all of my secrets, flaws and all, you still are there for me when I fall. Seeing the beauty in me that I failed to see, poking and joking, nearly making us see. We cry together and laugh together to things we may only understand. That's why we are best friends forever. Thank you for claiming to be my friend." And poem.
Read, Jean. And what a wonderful write by Jenny. And she wrote to prompt 15 and 16, and she says, "Sisters by heart and choice is sometimes better than blood. Says, I was an only child growing up, so wanted to use this to celebrate my BFF being my soul sister. Thank you." That is wonderful when you can find a friend that is becomes your soul sister. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a beautiful write, you know, how friends can become sisters. And, you know, even though there's no blood flowing, the soul is flowing between the two, which is a beautiful thing, obviously, to share this kind of kinship. Wonderful write. Fabulously read as well. So.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And your thoughts, Dean?
You know, I thought this was a really well done piece, a great take on perfect prompts, you know, for this. Not sisters by blood, but sisters by heart, side by side or miles apart. Tightly I hold you in my heart. You were here for me since the start. And then knowing all of my secrets, flaws and all, you still are there for me when I fall. Right there, even if I, you know, sit there, it says a lot. It really does. I think most of us all have a friend that we would say is close enough to be a brother or a sister, depending, you know. And there's nothing quite like it, you know, because someone we've grown with into a comfort level. And I think that it's wonderful because I have a friend since high school that, you know, so if she's not my sister, well, I don't know who is, you know. And we were friends at first, and then we just became so close, and we just knew each other that well, and we were there for each other, and that's the key. And I think that is just really, you know, the way it is. I mean, this is a wonderful brevity by Jenny, and I think it was a nice tribute to her friend. You know, I mean, the whole thing, I could have read the whole thing over and said, yes, I like all of it, because I do like all of it. There's a lot of great lines and a wonderful thought to her friend, and really love them. So thanks, Jenny. Appreciate it. Wonderful write.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. It is a wonderful write, and, you know, great comment there. It's a beautiful, it's heartfelt. I love that she shared this with us and wrote this for her, her soul sister, her friend. And, you know, I like the humor in the second stanza and the knowing all of my secrets, flaws and all, because that's what a true friend is. That's what a true soul sister is. It's someone who knows your flaws and still loves you. And we cry together and laugh together to things we may only understand. That kind of that strong connection, that secret language and deep understanding of each other. So beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that. And Jenny says, I turned it into a card for her birthday and she liked it. That is so sweet. That was a really nice idea.
Nice.
Very cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
Next one.
All right. Up next we have Mend My Wings by Betty Page. You're mending my wings, siblings, so we both can fly real high, comfort each other with songs, healing our minds, bodies, souls. Let's ride along together, roller coasters, highs and lows. Let's live as friends forever. Hold me close, don't let me go. You're mending my wings, siblings, so we both can fly real high, comfort each other with songs, healing our minds, bodies, souls. Let's ride along together, roller coasters, highs and lows. Let's live as friends forever. Hold me close, don't let me go. We can spin around all life's rides. Let's be always side by side, embracing arms held real wide, soothing pain till all subside. Dancing through every rainstorm, no matter thunder, lightning, nothing can sever the ties. Siblings unite, flying high. End poem. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful write. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I thought Betty did a great job here. You know, there are ups and downs and rounds and rounds and all that good stuff that goes with it. Nothing's ever just, you know, straight across, at least not in my world. So let me put it that way. You're mending my wings, siblings. So we both can fly real high, comfort each other with songs, healing our minds, bodies, and souls. You know, we do, as siblings and as close friends, you know, we do mend each other's wings. When something happens, you know, we make them better so we can carry on and keep flying, you know. So I got that from that first thing there. Let's ride along together, roller coasters, highs and lows. Let's live as friends forever. Hold me close and let me go. And there again, you know, it's the ups and downs of it, and let's stick together. You know, help me when we're down and fly with me when we're high. I mean, I think that's just nicely done. I think that Betty captured a lot in this, right? So just really, well, I don't want to keep going on and on and on, right? What, like the speech, I'm sure. But it was definitely a nicely penned piece by Betty, and I really liked it very much. I tend to, she hit it. Man on the head.
You know, but it's one of those poems that deserves to be gushed over, you know, and yeah. have that a little bit of extra comment, because there is a lot in it. And I think you made a great observation when you pointed out, and this is so true, that, you know, a relationship with siblings isn't that straight road. It is that up and down, the highs and lows. So great comment. Yeah. And your thoughts, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a beautiful read and a loving, tender, right? You know, very inspirational. You can only hope to have this type of relationship with your siblings, you know, where you're having your wings mended by them so that you can both fly real high and comfort each other with songs, healing our minds, bodies, and souls. You know, it was raw and it was real and it was loving and just a powerful poem on the subject of siblings. So beautifully done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, this has great imagery and rhyme, a beautiful heartfelt message. Even the title, Mend My Wings, you know, that idea that we soar better when we can heal with our siblings or with people who are like siblings to us. I thought this had, with the use of repetition and rhyme, a really nice lyrical quality. And I like especially, you're mending my wings, siblings, so we both can fly real high, comfort each other with song, healing our mind, body, and soul. So it's a very much a strong support system. So beautifully written. Absolutely, and very well done. And let's see here. Up next, I went ahead and put your poem, Gray. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okie dokie, Smokey. This is called Dearest Sister by Gray Eye Smith. Sister so distant, not even the breeze can carry my longing to you. Nor can rainfall in its mightiest downpour wash away the wish that we just might chant upon the fleeting glance of a childhood long past. Perhaps even sit beside one another to share in tales of yore. Dear Sister Charlotte, I hold you fast. I hold fast the memory of you, wishing true of all the dreams you may cast. I am ardent and steadfast in my brotherhood. Dear Sister Charlotte, oh, how I love and miss you. End poem.
Oh, my goodness, great. That was a wonderful read, and what a beautiful write. It's powerful, it's heartfelt. It really speaks on what it's like to be distant from a sister or brother, you know, and Charlotte, that is such a beautiful name. One of my nieces, actually, his middle name is Charlotte. It's just one of those names that's always so classic, and I like how you speak of the wishes of the heart, you know, how wanting to get back together, wanting to remember those good old days, of, you know, and I really like this all the way through, but I do particularly like, nor can rainfall in its mightiest downpour wash away the wish that we just might chance upon the fleeting glance of a childhood long past, and then the ending line. I am ardent and steadfast in my brotherhood. Dearest Sister Charlotte, oh, how I love and miss you. You can really feel the heart and emotions in that line. And you strike me as the type of person who's a very loyal person and very steadfast in their brotherhood to actual siblings, but also to friends and family. So I just thought this was a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Deb. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing it with us. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, Greg, this is a wonderful brevity. You know, sister so distant, not even the breeze can carry my longing to you. I mean, that's just something right there. That's a long, long way, you know. But I think that was a beautiful brevity, and longing for a missing sister was so well expressed within this. You could feel it, you know, you could feel that there was that sense of loss and the desire to rekindle in one fashion or another. You know, perhaps, you know, what is it here? Nor can rainfall in its mightiest downpour wash away the wish that we just might chance upon a fleeting glance of a childhood long past. Perhaps even sit aside one another and stare in tales of yore. That's lovely, you know, to as a reader, you know, to feel how that is. You know, and I think that it was just lovely. And this, I love how, dear Sister Charlotte, I hold fast to the memory of you, wishing true of all the dreams you may hear. You know, nothing like wishing her all the best, you know. So I think that this is just beautiful, Bray, and really nice of them. And Charlotte is a nice name. I like it. Don't tell your mom. She don't need to know that I approve. I don't think that it'll make a difference. But, yeah. And, you know, you're a good brother, man. You're a good brother. You know, it's, you think of her and you wish her well. And, you know, you wish you could be there. Makes sense to me.
So, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And wonderful comment, Jean. All right. And up next we have My Brother by Rose Winter 515. And go ahead, Jean, please.
Yes. Okay. Oh, this is awful long, Sam. I don't have all night. Just saying. My Brother by Rose Winter 515. My Brother, a love poem of family roots in Happy Valley of Memory.
All right. Well, while you go ahead and get a drink of water to parch your tired throat there, Craig and I will comment. No. Can you tell that I love you like a sister because I gave you the shortest poem of the night to read?
That's right. Thank you, Sister Pam.
You're welcome, Sister Jean. All right. You know, I actually thought that this was a nicely written brevity. Rose Winter 515 does have a talent for them. I like how it's shaped almost like a rosebud. You know, it does. It almost to me looks like the idea of the top of a rose. And all the way, it's really difficult to separate the any part from another. But I like that this is a love poem to her brother, and I like the use of the word roots and the phrase valley of memories. So wonderful lines and very well done. And your thoughts, Gray?
Yeah, it was a fantastic brevity. You know, captures the essence of family quite beautifully and, you know, short to the point, very sweet. So excellent job. Great read, Phil.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Great comment. And your thoughts, Jean?
Hang on. Let me know the drinks. I'm only kidding. I thought this was just a lovely, heartfelt brevity. I really did. And, you know, as short as it was, there's just wonderful sentiments in it. You know, a love poem of family roots in Happy Valley of Memories. You know, that all those wonderful memories of childhood and being together just hold you in that place. You know, that wonderful childhood, it just keeps it alive and keeps it fresh. And I think it was just really nicely done. So great job, Rose Winter 515. Much enjoyed. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just definitely heartfelt writes tonight. So great comments. All right. And up next we have You, Me, and Tom Dooley by Charlie Girl. In my inner co-op, a wall drips with egg yolk tallies from your feather pen, eggs in flats of 30 stacked 10 flats high, multiplied by so many stacks plus however many flaps left over, plus additional eggs. We counted them like piggy bank coins and counted several ourselves lucky to make bank on every month end. On every month day end, we used to take the tiny ones home with us, the ones with no yolks, the ones so huge they held triple or quadruple yolks, the ones with no shells, we called those skin eggs, the ones with soft shells, we called those smushy eggs, and the ones that were cracked, just barely holding anything at all. It's all there written on my inner co-op wall, along with tempera poetry in questionable meter and rhyme about you catching sunflowers by their hairy, sticky stems, peeling off petals. He loves me, he loves me not. But he always ended up loving you. Who could help it? Your face full of sunshine, your outlook rimmed with happy smiles. Remember how the wind whipped songs from our lips and sent the sunflowers bending down and springing back up again. The pickup always did that to them, sing to our trailing tunes. They were busy, our songs. I sang all till you took the lead. By them old Dobbin clip-clopped, we built a bungalow. One bottle popped and Tom Dooley hung his head in shame. We milked some 300 cows, fed 100 or so calves, and a couple hundred more yearlings. We picked rocks in the blazing sun from fields that seemed to grow them. We corn-topped pulling tassels from cornrows so Uncle could raise a hybrid crop. But what purpose he was unaware of was how he'd raised a not-so-highbrow crop of cousins on a hayseed hybrid farm of cattle, chicken, seed, and song. It's all there, as I said, dripping from my inner co-op walls and dancing along my inner ditch bank. Two-part harmony is making sunflowers spring. You, me, and Tom Dooley hanging on a wide leaf breeze and poem. And in her AN, she says, "For Linda, love you dearly, sis." Oh, that is just absolutely beautiful. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you did a beautiful read on that poem, Pam. You know, you can feel all this as you read through it, you know. Her starting off with, in my inner co-op, a wall drips with egg yolk tallies from your feather pen. Eggs in flats of 30 stacked 10 flats high, multiplied by so many stacks, plus however many flats left over, plus your additional eggs. We counted them like piggy bank coins and counted ourselves lucky to make bank on every month end. And then, you know, going into the next stanza where, you know, they take all these eggs home, all the different non-standard eggs. And, you know, I really enjoyed just traveling through her inner co-op wall. It really is a wall filled with amazing memory and imagery. So beautifully done, fantastically read, Pam.
Thank you. And, yes, I have to agree, it is beautifully done. It's a great comment. And your thoughts, Dean?
I keep telling you, you don't pay me enough for thought. I'm tough on that. I thought this was just a wonderful write. But I have to say, boy, it was a dirty trick putting Tom Dooley right in the title. It was all in the back of my head. Oh, I keep hearing this, the song. You know, all the way through, I kept hearing it. Kept falling back on it. So, you know, it's just a catchy tune from, well, way long ago now. I thought that the memory shared here, beautiful memory shared all throughout. A great write, experiences shared, bringing you both closer to one another. I thought it was a wonderful job. And, it was just a wonderful share. And I love the IN. I, you know, the fact that she just says it right there for Linda. Love you dearly. You know, I mean, it's a bonding. It's a growing together throughout this poem. Tom Dooley, go figure. I can't explain that any better. Great job.
I have to agree. I did realize that I think it was supposed to be Coop and not Co-op, but I'm not 100% sure. But Coop would make more sense, and I apologize if I was saying that wrong. I think I just was thinking like store, but anyways, either way, it's just absolutely a stunning write. I like that she brought us to, it's nostalgic, she brought us back in time with the bonding of sisters and cousins who worked on a farm together and the memories created from that time spent together. I really liked the humor and the description of the different eggs. You know, the ones with no shell, we call those skin eggs. The ones with soft shells, we call those smushy eggs. You know, that part definitely had me smiling. And, of course, the peeling off petals, he loves me not, but he always ended up loving you. Who could help it? Your face full of sunshine, your outlook rimmed with happy smiles. You know, there's just some people have that kind of, you know, positive energy, you know, that really just draws people to them. So wonderful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wonderful.
And let's see what we have next. All right, we have A Lifetime of Love by Darkened Auras. And Gray, will you go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Sure, you betcha. Just one second here. Okay, Lifetimes of Love by Darkened Auras. We weren't brought up together. He was raised by his dad. I was raised by our mom. But that didn't erase the instant bond to him that I had. I wasn't born till he was 16. You'd think our age would break the ties, but we are so in sync. It's crazy. He brings a smile that's no disguise. I love him to the moon and back and feel connected to his soul. I just know we've met in past lifetimes. Where he goes next, so do I go. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Gray. And I would like to mention that this is a write written for her half-brother. And how they, like, you know, grew up apart and, you know, and then became closer and together as adults. And I think this is just a wonderful tribute. And she says in her AM, I'm not going to read her whole AM. I do recommend that people read it because it really gives some nice information. But she says in her AM, I hope half-siblings are okay. I never call him my half-brother. To me, he is my brother. And I have to say, yes, definitely more than okay, because when I refer to my brother Joe is actually my half-brother. But I never say that unless I'm explaining for some reason or another. Like, there's some reason, like, right now where, I have to say half-brother. He's always just, you know, my brother Joe. And so, you know, definitely counts in my eyes. So wonderful read and great write. And Jean, your thoughts?
This was a wonderful brevity again. You know, three stanzas said so much. You know, stepbrothers, half-brothers, all that, you know, it's not really about who really is your birth parents. It, again, like the trend, how you pull together and, you know, she said here that she felt she knew him in a different lifetime down in the AN. I feel like I've known him in previous lifetimes and just have a feeling that even if I'm late to the party again, I'll meet him somehow again in the next lifetime. You know, it's the truth. It's that, you know how it is. Sometimes you meet someone and you two just click. I think that happens a lot in life. You know, it may not be the same. I mean, sometimes you're looking with a romantic eye, and other times it's just you feel like you've known someone all your life, and it just becomes easy, you know. And apparently, you know, he was 16 when she was born, and then he went into the service. So, I mean, it is a connection, just a connection. that when she met him again, you know, they were drawn to one another as, you know, I don't know if soulmates is really a word. I guess it depends on how you define that. But I think it's a wonderful, wonderful right and very well stated in here. You know, I mean, you know, I love him to the moon and back and feel connected to his soul. I just know we've met in lifetimes past, where he goes next and who I'll go. Just wonderful. So, I mean, that last stanza was very well done. You know, it was rhymed beautifully, and it really said, I think, what she meant, you know? So wonderful job, V.I., and thanks for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Gray, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was touching. You know, it was heartfelt. You could feel the emotion that she has for this person in her life and how they were connected in previous lifetimes and they'll be connected in future lifetimes. That's a powerful thing. So just a wonderful, touching write. Fabulous to read it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I really like this. Great rhyme, wonderful brevity, lots of heart put in it. All the way through, it's a great tribute to her brother and their relationship. But I especially like that second stanza. I wasn't born until you were 16. You'd think our age would break the tide, but we're so in sync, it's crazy. He brings a smile that's no disguise. You know, the idea of that smile that is a true and honest one. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have Fancy Nancy. And go ahead, Jean, please, and give that a read for us. Oh, by Teresa Streshenkoff.
Okay, one thing. La. Okay. Here we go. Fancy Nancy by Teresa Streshenkoff. My one true friend, her name is Nancy, but we all call her Fancy. Biggest heart she'll ever find, she wears it on her sleeve. The most beautiful soul you won't believe, just how true of a friend that she could really be. She will always hold the key to my happiness. She will be my forever friend from now until the very end. And even after life, our souls will find each other because we have that once-in-a-lifetime kind of bond that is rarely ever found. Life would not ever be the same without her in my life. I love her now and forevermore. She is my one true friend and home.
Great read there, Jean. And what a wonderful write. So heartfelt. You know, there is something fun about, you know, there seems like when it comes to siblings or when it comes to close friends, we always find a way to, like, rhyme each other's names in those, like, fun and silly ways. I thought this was a great tribute to her friend, you know, and what she means to her, and, you know, just really tells us a lot about her, especially in these lines. Biggest heart you'll ever find, she wears it on her sleeve. Beautiful soul, you won't believe just how true of a friend that she could truly be. You know, that connection, that idea that, you know, and a lot of, there are people out there like that. They just wear their hearts on their sleeve. They're the most beautiful spirits you will ever meet, you know, and I thought this was just a very heartfelt right. And your thoughts, Gray?
Yeah, you know, that's another endearing poem full of love and dedication to a special friend. You know, people come into our lives that are one of a kind, and, you know that love is rare and special, so you hang on to it however you can, and I thought it was just beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And, Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a lovely tribute to a close and dear friend. You know, very well pulled together. My one true friend, her name is Nancy, but we all call her Fancy. Biggest heart you'll ever find, she wears it on her sleeve. The most beautiful soul you won't believe. Need you say more? I mean, really, parts of it were cute, parts of it were tender. And I thought it was sweet. So I really enjoyed it, and thank you for sharing, Teresa. Nice to hear from you again.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And up next, we have My Little Sister by Weaver of Dreams. And it goes like this. Our great-granddad was a Leaf born and bred, so Sunshine on Leaf was my family's favorite song. At every family get-together, we would belt it out. My youngest sister was tone-deaf, but sang along. When we had to say goodbye to her, there was never any doubt what song would be played to help her move across. But what made it so special and broke my heart anew was my daughter singing those words to mark our tragic loss. End poem. Oh, my goodness, that's another one that hits hard and brings tears to the eyes. I see she won a gold in this contest. So then that's very well deserved. Congratulations on that. And then she puts in her AN, the song is Sunshine on Leith, sung by the Proclaimers. As my family are Leithers, born in the small town of Leith, Scotland, this poem is for my sister. Oh, wow, that's beautiful. And Jean, your thoughts?
What a sad piece this is. Our great-granddad was a Leither poem. Our great-granddad was a Leither, born and bred. So Sunshine on Leith was my family's favorite poem. At every family get-together, we would belt it out. My youngest sister was tone deaf but sang along. You know, one of those memories. You know, I don't know about you, but my brother can't carry a tune in a bucket. He's worse than I am. And he would sing with everything. And, you know, thinking back, I can remember hearing him out of tune throughout whatever song it was, you know. Almost down to Happy Birthday, but I'll cut him a break on that one. So I can understand that stanza well because it does sit true with you. It's like something you would remember as just an honest memory of, you know, someone in your family, your close friend. So that's one of the things. But the second stanza is heartbreaking, you know, or heart-wrenching. You know, when we had to say goodbye to her, there was never any doubt what song would be replayed to help her move across. It's sad. Loss is always sad. And I think that, I think it was a fond memory of her sister, along with that having to say goodbye and how they did it and remembering that, just making a note of it. I'm sure there's way much more to it than what the move is going. So thank you so much, Weaver, for writing this. This is wonderful, beautiful, and you know, heartfelt, I can tell. So thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that was heart-wrenching, you know, how much a song can bring so many memories of tragic loss. It's very beautiful and sad at the same time. My condolences to Weaver, you know, that ending really got me. And what made it so special and broke my heart anew was my daughter singing those words to mark her tragic loss. Yeah, just a wonderful, heartfelt, touching right on the loss of somebody special.
Absolutely. It really is. And great comment, Jan. Yeah, I, too, am sorry for Kate's loss. It's a difficult thing to lose someone you're close to. But, yeah, I like that this was nostalgic, and it was really emotional and beautifully written. I really like at every family get-together, we would belt it out. My youngest sister was tone-deaf, but sang along. And then, of course, those end lines do hit hard. And it's that idea of, you know, not only is there the sadness, though, but there's that idea, and I think this is such a beautiful thought, that, you know, that song is passed on from generation to generation and always shared as a fond part of family get-togethers and memories. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have "To Tony" by Selena N. Gray. Would you give that a read for us, please?
Okie dokie, I will do my best. 1 second here. Okay, "To Tony" by Selena. I was your baby sister. You always held my hand, picked me up, dried my tears, like all big brothers do. Before long, I realized how devoted you were and that you held the keys to my heart, too. My constant defender, my shelter from the storm. You cared so much about me. No need for you to say. Sentimental words were trivial, proving nothing. Silently caring, unseen. That was just your way. So when I was in need, you were always there to guide me through life or simply make me smile. It made no difference the long miles between us. There were times we couldn't meet for a while. Now you are gone. Oft I think of you and shed a tear and would do anything to be with you. Only one more day. Still, I was blessed that you were bestowed upon my life. Fondest memories come from childhood, can never be chased away. End poem.
Great read, Gray. And what a beautiful, heartfelt write by Selena. A wonderful tribute to her brother. That's such a great picture of him with his guitar. You can tell that they're a family that has a real appreciation and love for music, you know. And I liked that we got to have read Selena's collaboration with her sister and about, you know, their relationship. And now we get to read about Selena's and Silvana's brother. And I like this because it really speaks on what it's like to have an older brother who's a defender. My constant defender, my shelter from the storm. You cared so much about me, no need for you to say. Sentimental words were trivial, proving nothing. Silently caring, unseen, that was just your way. And that is so true that, you know, oftentimes, you know, you get those that are strong and silent type that show their love through action rather than through words. And what a sad ending. I'm just sorry for her loss. You know, you really felt it all the way through. You felt the emotion and the connection and the sense of loss. And but also knowing, I really like this line, still I was blessed that you were bestowed upon my life. You know, that idea that it was better to have had this brother and lost and, you know, that, you know, never to have known him. So wonderful, wonderful, heartfelt tribute and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a heartfelt, beautiful tribute to her brother, Tony. I said, he sounds like a wonderful brother, you know, from what she has said about him in this piece. You know, I picked the second and third standard. My constant defender, my shelter from the storm. You cared so much about me, no need for you to say. Sentimental words were trivial, proving nothing. Silently caring, unseen, that was just your way. So when I was in need, you were always there to guide me through life or simply make me smile. It made no difference the long miles between them. So there were times we couldn't meet for a while. This sounds like he was just someone that she could really count on. And that's, I think that's what a family's supposed to be. And there's someone you can lean on, count on. You know, just a beautiful, right? Just a beautiful expression of love. Has that better yet?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful dedication to her brother who loved her so much. You could feel the love mm-hmm. that emanates throughout the rite, and the connection that they had is just beautiful. You know, so my condolences for her loss, and I think she was lucky to have such a special relationship in her life.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Well, this has been a wonderful show. Thank you so much, Jean, as always, for being my twisted sister. Thank you. Thank you, Gray, for calling in. Thank you to Jenny for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who is listening now or will be listening later. We appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show. I would like to mention that make sure to keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something that will inspire you. And for some upcoming shows, here's what we have. You can join me and Louie Wildove tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, for The Art of Seduction, in which our topic is going to be firing up the grill. So, gentlemen, bring your brats and light the fire. And, you know.
If I were you, I'd bring fire extinguisher. That's my advice.
Right. That's right. This show is going to need a fire extinguisher. Yep.
Everybody. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll get a bunch of firemen to come put it out. I don't know. It's scary down here. But
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. That would be nice.
I realized that after I said it. I said, oh, no, why did I say that out loud? You know. That's real firemen. You know, I'm sure you'd make it all work. Oh, my God. Anyway,
yeah,
wonderful
right?
show, Pam. Great prompt.
Great.
It was
Thank
great to
you.
Have you join us. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Yes.
Yep.
Just like any time. We're always here. We're here every day.
Yep. Just about, it feels like.
We're well, here every day. I'm only here every other day. Every so many
days. Yeah, that's right. I do take every other day off, so.
No, I take it the other day. You are here every day. Change
oh, hours. Okay.
Yes. It's early, then late,
so
then early. Then. Exactly. But I can show great poetry, great comments, great fun.
I
Thanks,
have
everybody.
To agree.
Good night, girls. Much love.
Good night.
Much
love, Greg.
You all. Have a good night.
You said some good night. That was a nice treat. Yeah.